B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com, and wherever you get your podcast. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm joined, as always, and I say that with much affection, by Al Beck and James.
Affection and frustration sometimes.
As always, they can't find me any other co-hosts that are not as dumb as these guys.
Nobody else will listen to me drone on about Transformers, so.
We won't even listen to you drone on about Transformers.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did you talk about Transformers?
Well, I know you were very interested when John Cena saved Bumblebee, but otherwise Transformers, whatever.
Yeah.
It is some Nerd Radio. We're in quite a great week because we are in between Free Comic Book Day, which is coming up this Saturday. We talked briefly about that last week, and the Avengers movie, which is the big news this particular week, scoring something like $1.5 billion or something like that over the weekend.
It was 1.2 just over the first weekend.
1.2. Yes, yeah. I had my point wrong.
My God.
I imagine probably at 1.5 by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably by now. But yeah, over the opening weekend.
That's a hell of a lot of money. I'll let you guys.
They were projecting $1 billion.
Yeah.
And it exceeded that.
Right. I'll let you guys listening at home know that we are not going to spoil anything until the end of the show. Last week, James said he had some questions. So, that $1.2 billion, I paid for at least four of those tickets.
Yeah. There you go.
Because I went
doing your part.
I went on Friday and saw it, and then 2 days later on Monday, I woke up and I looked at Amy. I was like, "Do you want to go see Avengers again?" She's like, "Hell yeah, I want to go see Avengers again." So we did.
And I will be out of that conversation because I still haven't seen it yet.
Loser.
And I'm actually feeling a little bit of anxiety about it. Because of the whole, I haven't seen anything on social media about it.
Are you still in the bubble? Because
I am in the bubble. At this point, I don't want any spoilers, but if I happen to stumble on one, it's my fault, I guess, for not going immediately, which is such a silly thing. But other than seeing one person's, a couple people say, saw Avengers, it was great, which is. I mean, I'm fine with seeing that.
Yeah.
But I did see something on social media that
somebody said that the Avengers won.
No. Yeah.
Darn it.
Made me anxious about the fact that I haven't seen Endgame yet. And it was, I happened just scrolling. I saw a Game of Thrones spoiler, which I don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to watch the show. At this point, I'm going to go back to the beginning and they're in the fight. If that gets spoiled, Chuck, I'll never remember.
Well, there is that.
I'll never remember.
It's always a surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a goldfish.
It's my dementia. It's the one time being an old man. It works out for me.
Right.
You could actually probably spoil Avengers for me right now, and then I could go see it in 15 minutes, and it'd be totally fresh.
The Avengers win.
Oh, my God.
What? Darn it.
The Avengers win.
But yeah, so just scrolling and I'm not going to say what the spoiler was. I know James doesn't care, but it was just a character's name.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, clearly this person died. I know enough about Game of Thrones to be like, well, that's what that is.
Right.
And it didn't bother me, but I was like, oh, okay, that's like.
I heard nobody could even see the last episode of Game of Thrones. It was so dark.
Right.
That's all I've seen. I'm like, oh, that really sells the show to me. Hey, I think it's boring as hell, and now I can't even see what's happening in the episode.
Right. Well,
just last night, Conan had a bit.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, about that. And he played the actual scene from Game of Thrones. It's all dark, and they're fighting or whatever in the snow. And he goes, "Our editors went and brightened everything up," and he played. It's just people LARPing.
Oh, I love it.
Fantastic.
But anyway, so yeah, I did see a Game of Thrones spoiler, unaffected by that, obviously, but it makes me really nervous because I still haven't seen anything Avengers.
Well, it became increasingly more difficult. Like I said, I went and I saw it on Friday and thankfully didn't have anything spoiled for me and came home and then started, as of Saturday morning, I started looking stuff up because I had questions too. I was like, what is this and who is that and whatever.
I feel so much better that somebody else had questions.
Higher
ranking nerd in the arc of nerddom.
I was going to say, in this room, I wouldn't be able to answer a lot of your questions, even if I read the book.
Right.
Chuck has the deep knowledge.
I can go the long way around. I'm definitely the Marvel nerd.
Yeah.
In this room, but as the days have gone on, every day afterwards, I've thought to myself, man, it would be really increasingly difficult all weekend long if you didn't go see it on Thursday and Friday to stay in that bubble. So I'm impressed.
Yeah.
That that you've avoided everything.
My question is in reference to my bubble. Now that you guys have seen it,
yeah,
and other people have seen it, and you're not stepping lightly on social media, have you been seeing spoilers that I just haven't? Like, have you seen people post a spoiler?
That's the thing. I don't know if necessarily it's something, if I hadn't seen it, I would have immediately gotten to jump to the conclusion, the right conclusion about, or if it's something because I've seen it, I've seen a, you know, a news post on like Comic Book Resource or something like that and been like, oh, that's about this thing.
Because you actually wouldn't sought out information. So like you probably have seen internet spoilers, but you looked for it. I'm just, you know, have you been on Facebook scrolling and then and see, so, you know, and, other than Avengers was good.
The only thing I've seen, somebody posted a couple of like screen grabs of people posting spoilers on comments on Pornhub.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I haven't actually encountered anybody.
That's right.
Anybody that I've seen on social media, they've just posted, hey, the movie's great, or, you know, something along the lines of that.
That's good to
and
know.
Any articles that I've clicked on, they give you such a huge heads up, like, hey, huge spoilers ahead.
Yes.
Nice.
Don't read any farther if you haven't seen the movie unless you want the movie spoiled. So,
which is exactly how you guys are going to treat that final segment of today's show.
Yeah.
Spoilers ahead. No,
exactly.
And that's why I'm going to leave the room at that time.
When you hear Riversong say spoilers in the little clip intro, that's how you know.
All right.
And I'm about to let fly something that you may not want to know about. Spoiler free though, man. What a fantastic journey. It was satisfying.
Yeah.
That is the word I walked out of the theater feeling.
Good.
How satisfying it was.
Yeah.
Marvel has taken going to the movies and turned it into an episodic thing like you have on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the end of a season of your favorite show that you've been watching for about 11 years now, seeing a couple episodes every year. And they wrap up it to me. They wrapped up everything I wanted to see wrapped up.
Oh, good.
And there are... I want to say there's three or four moments that I feel like everyone should absolutely experience for themselves. Like one of the reasons I went on Monday is because I got hyper emotional, and me and James will talk about that. And then once you've seen it, I'll let you know which ones they are. But there were two or three sequences where I got extremely emotional.
Yeah, there's two moments I almost cried.
Yeah, no, I cried. I cried
Did
like
you?
A baby.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let it out.
And then,
I'm a crier, I'll admit it.
And then
bring your tissues.
One of the reasons I went back Monday was to see, like, okay, now I know that's coming. Is it still as impactful? And it was just as impactful the second time, even knowing it's coming, seeing the thing, and I'm getting goosebumps thinking about
it.
Just being like, it was amazing. As far as I'm concerned,
That's good to know. That is good
rewarding.
To hear, even having not seen it yet. Because I did ask last week, James, did you feel like you were satisfied with the ending of that last 10 years? You said yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out, we got the ranking nerd here.
Sure.
You know, deferring to his judgment.
Right. Now that comes with a caveat, knowing that I am a Marvel guy and not much of a DC guy.
Oh, true.
So...
Well, the irony there is I'm more of a DC guy, and you probably still have me trumped.
I can ask you questions about
he's
DC stuff.
He's got you at your own game, like, oh, no. Al Beck.
Oh, no.
The only thing you got him on is old-timey cartoons
and
TV series.
There's more Batmans past 1944, you say?
So, yeah, I can't... it's an event, man. It's almost it's more than a movie. It's an event. I think it's going to be the biggest... event to go to the theaters to see this
3 hours. That didn't even feel like 3 hours.
Did not.
I was like, whoa.
No, much as everyone was talking about, man, you better go to the bathroom here, but go to the bathroom. No, even the second time through, knowing where the lulls in the movie are, I'm like, no, I want to see this again.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to be here for this.
That's good to know, though, because that was part of the thing. I actually thought about going yesterday after work, and it was around 3 o'clock when I would have been driving past the theater.
Right.
Or like 2:30, and I just thought about what time it would be 3 hours from now. And I was like, ugh.
Sure.
Nope. And I just kept going and I went home.
Yep.
You know, and that 3 hour thing is one of the really holding me back. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But.
It is the most old man reason to not go see him. I don't know. That movie's just, it's 3 hours. It's too long of a movie. It's too long to sit. I got to get up and move my legs. Otherwise, I'll get blood clots or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm definitely going to smuggle in my dried prunes.
There you go.
You
for
know,
sure.
For a snack.
And he can crap his pants in the middle of the movie.
But I will say that, you know, seeing Infinity War, I mean, that one wasn't 3 hours, but it was still pretty long.
Right.
That one didn't feel like how long it was. Like, that one really, like, the time passed. But
I was trying the second time through, I was trying to imagine, because it's, you know, 3 full hours, I was trying to imagine, like, where would you put the episode breaks? in this movie.
Oh, yeah, like, where, yeah, the where act breaks.
You, yeah, where exactly are the act breaks in this movie? Amy and I both on Monday, too, we like smuggled in cheeseburgers.
Oh, there you go. I love doing that.
Because we just watched the first Iron Man a couple weeks ago, too, to try and gear up to this. And he
prunes and Metamucil.
He wants cheeseburgers as soon as he gets back. We're like, Tony Stark would want us to have cheeseburgers. Yeah. So we're going to get some.
Oh, God.
Right. I also had the feeling.
Or shawarma. There's a throwback for you.
There you go.
Shawarma.
Yep. When we left the theater on Friday, I thought to myself, there were a couple moments where I know certain people who will probably not enjoy this part, particular part of the movie.
Ghoul.
And my first,
are we talking maybe,
we are.
I had a feeling.
And as much as I love Kevin, I was thinking to myself, I don't know if I want to be friends with somebody who didn't find this movie enjoyable. I don't
know. Infinity Gauntlet has been thrown down.
I don't know that I need that kind of negativity in my life.
The friendship was over. It's ruined.
I'm not going to end a friendship over whether or not you like the movie, but it just seemed like something funny. It's in my head. I was like, I know certain people, Ghoul, are going to be like, why'd they have to do that? That was stupid. And I'll be like, shut up, man. It was a good time. All right. Well, speaking of a good time, let's take a break. And we'll come back. We'll talk about some free comic books. Hey, I'm having a good time. I don't know about you. You little bitch. Yeah. Oh.
Two friendships have ended.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hi, you got Larry B. Scott from Revenge of the Nerds, Party, 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 and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
I like it because you hate it.
Yeah, right. Or the reverse, I hate it because you liked it. That's what people say about Nerd Radio.
Hey, right here on the podcast. What a WRF.com. From off mic to on mic.
Hey, it's Chuck Bean, it's Al Beck, and it's James for another week in Nerd Radio here, wherever you're getting your podcast. We thank you, I want to say that ahead of time, for downloading us. Make sure you give us a rate and review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're getting us, Podbean. And make sure you come back every week. Or at least hit us up on our social media and let us know why you're never coming back. So maybe we can alter the show a little bit.
Meltdown WRF.
Exactly. So we talked about Avengers a little bit, and we'll talk about it. We'll go a little spoiler deep later on. But the other big news this week would be Free Comic Book Day coming up this Saturday, where all your local comic book stores will have a pile of comics, probably a table somewhere, of comics specifically they order for Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah. Are you seeing anything worth... Because we were kind of looking a little bit last week, you and I, and all of it was like, I don't know.
Well, that's something I wanted to go over with you, is there's some of the comics that are coming out I wanted to see.
It's a cool day to show up to anyway, because even if you aren't interested in the free comics, you know, a lot of times your local shop will get an artist or a writer to stop by.
For sure. Some comics book stores will get bands to play there, like my band will be playing at Liberty Comics in Roseville.
Oh, yeah. Shameless plug for the band and the store he works in.
Right, exactly.
How'd you get that gig? You know somebody?
It was real difficult.
You know somebody? Man.
Convincing somebody to let us set up our guitar amps in a parking lot so we can play. It was nice. real hard. But yeah, some of the comics you can look forward to this year at Free Comic Book Day. There's the show on Sci-Fi Channel, Deadly Class, which people seem to be enjoying. They're doing a one-shot, Image Comics is, which you can pick up on Free Comic Book Day. Marvel has two books in the stores. One of them is focuses on the Avengers and a story that will, moving forward, will happen in the main book. And then the other one is a Spider-Man book that focuses on a Carnage event, which is coming up in the fall. I know you're a Spider-Man guy.
I'm a Spider-Man guy, but for some reason, Carnage does nothing for me.
Yeah, Carnage
is just another symbiote.
He's Venom, but edgier.
Exactly. Like, we've already got Venom. It's Venom in red. Yeah. That's all Carnage is to me. And I just, so for some reason.
Some guy over here might not have seen Venom yet, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I have not.
It's worth it. It was fun.
Yeah.
It's on the list.
Okay. Image is also reprinting the very first issue of Spawn in a Free Comic Book Day form. that you can get, which I think is really kind of a cool thing, especially if you're a publisher that's going to do two books for Free Comic Book Day, to do one that's like a, hey, here's a ground floor kind of book that's timely for this particular thing. A lot of independent publishers, there's a Minecraft book by Dark Horse that's coming out. Boom Studios is doing a Lumberjanes book, which is one of their big big releases.
I bet you the Minecraft book will have better graphics than the actual
game. Minecraft will actually have.
Whoa!
Right.
That's what that's supposed to be.
That would be really funny if they literally took screenshots.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious. It. Yeah.
And that's the Minecraft book.
My little nephew, 10-year-old nephew, loves Minecraft and Roadblocks or something like that. And I
With the toys?
No, the video games on his computer. And I sit there and I look at him like, what? There's graphically, like, there's so much better available. Like, why?
It makes sense for someone like me to be into that because of nostalgia.
Well, for nostalgia, he's 10. Right. He's got, you know,
but for, yeah, a 10-year-old to be
interested in
it,
like, he's come over and play. He'll come over and play my PlayStation. I had him in the VR headset over the weekend. Like, he's seen good-looking video games. I don't know why he loves these games so much, but it's what he's obsessed with. I don't get it.
Well, he also really likes Grand Theft Auto.
Another old man thing I don't understand the youth. I'm just going to leave now. Yeah. All right, everyone, guys!
I'm going to have to change the podcast. Old man gripes about comic stuff.
Right. There's a Bob's Burgers book that Dynamic is putting out, Dynamic Entertainment. There's also...
I love Bob's Burgers, but I have no interest in a Bob's Burgers comic book.
I think it'd be sweet.
You can hear them in there in your head, man. You can hear the voices.
Yeah, the voices is what makes that show, because it's all the dudes doing female voices.
I know. Right.
That book that I love, Animosity, that Aftershock puts out, that's like The Walking Dead, except with animals, is essentially, they're doing an Animosity book for Free Comic Day, so I'm super pumped about that. There's a lot of stuff. You can go to freecomicbookday.com, check out the whole catalog of stuff. Oh, I would be remiss if I didn't point out the local publisher, Source Point Press.
Yeah.
And a friend of the show, Dirk Manning, has a Free Comic Day book, Hope.
So that Avengers, that's Jason Aaron, right?
It is. Yep. He's writing that. So like I said, that leads into... Okay, and here's something I wanted to bring up. DC has one book. Marvel's got two. Image has two books. Mm-hmm. You know, the bigger publishers usually put two books out. DC put out one book. It's Under the Moon, a Catwoman Tale Special Edition. It's one of their kind of young adult books that they're publishing somewhere in the next month or something like that.
Yeah.
And the reason DC only has one book is two of the books that I brought in that came out this week. DC is foregoing Free Comic Book Day to put out a 25-cent preview book called Year of the Villain. It's got three stories in it, one written by Brian Michael Bendis, one written by Scott Snyder, and I don't remember the third guy, so sorry, dude. But it leads into the event that's coming up this summer,
Bane?
Year of the Villain. Yeah, Bane is in there. Lex Luthor plays the focus of this Year of the Villain thing. Lex Luthor essentially studies every hero and figures out how they can be beaten, and then decides to go to every villain and try and make a huge Legion of Doom, if you will.
Okay.
So that they can beat all the heroes.
Does he have some sort of superpower? Is that him? Is that Lex Luthor right there?
Yeah. Apparently, throughout
a second ago,
I don't want to spoil the book.
Okay,
but
never mind.
Apparently, something's going to happen throughout this that may make him Superman's equal.
Oh.
Because he obviously his you know big thing is he wants to kill Superman.
Yeah.
He's
got a beef with Superman for some reason.
Still love that that panel. Was it Forever Evil? Issue one. Lex Luthor saying this looks like a job for Superman.
Yeah, when Lex says it looks like a job for Superman,
probably one of my favorite panels I've ever read in a comic.
Things are getting
book.
Rough. But that book, instead of being free, is a quarter. So hopefully you have a quarter if you go to your comic book store on Free Comic Book Day. This other book is the beginning of a DC, I gotta say it's an Elseworlds event, and it's called Deceased. And releasing it right after the Avengers, in the same week Avengers Endgame, people are seeing that, was very smart of them, because it's essentially Darkseid, which is kind of the Thanos of the DC universe. It's what if Darkseid won kind of thing.
Okay.
For those that are unfamiliar, and I'm not speaking from a place of authority either, because I barely understand how Darkseid works, but Darkseid is an alien dude that lives on a planet called Apocalypse, which is awful, and he runs the place, and his whole shtick is that he's looking for something called the anti-life equation, which is supposed to wipe out all life across the entire universe. And the beginning of this book is what if Darkseid actually got his hands on the anti-life equation. What would
kill
happen?
Him too?
Maybe.
Ooh.
you got a little into Darkseid when you borrowed the Justice League.
Yeah.
Jeff Johns run.
Right, and he was in that Mr. Miracle book that I really enjoyed as well by Tom King. So there's, you know, like I said, I know a little bit about Darkseid, but I wouldn't be like the authority on what Darkseid's all about for sure. So those are a couple of books that are in the stores. The Deceased book, I believe, is $3.99.
I see what they did there. They spelled deceased differently.
With a D and a C.
Yeah,
D-C.
Just a D-C.
Yes.
Instead of, yep, exactly. And that cover I picked up was really cool, too.
That's a cool cover, yeah.
It's a throwback to the Stephen King's It with the red balloon and everything.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It feels like It.
Joker giving Robin, Robin's got the yellow cape, obviously, so he looks like Georgie from the Stephen King's It poster.
You do like the variant covers, which I think makes perfect sense, but for some reason I love cover A. Like, this is the cover for the book.
See, I like the variant covers when they're not more expensive. Like when it's a 1 in 25 or 1 in 50 variant cover, and you got to spend like $20 on the guy. I'm like, oof. No, I don't. Yeah. I don't. The book just came out. I'm not going to spend $20 on this thing.
You got the ones too where it's like, it's like a coloring book, and you're supposed to color it in. I'm like, what?
Well, that's that defeats the whole purpose of getting a comic book, right?
Exactly.
I got to color it in. No way. What am I paying $3.99 for?
Well, the comic is still there.
I'm paying $3.99. Somebody else better color that crap in.
They didn't. They didn't get a color scheme.
I don't know why I'm so fired up over the coloring book comics. I'd be really upset if I bought a comic. Me, I would walk into a comic book store, my first time going in to actually buy a comic in years. I'd be like, I'll take that one. And I get home and there's no color in there. Do you know how upset I would be?
Yeah, like, $3.99, someone else better color
this
that
should
shit.
Be
I
half
would,
off.
I love that. That's great.
Should be half off. 50 cents. I got to color it myself.
I remember picking
up
those.
Is that a DIY project?
Picking up those independent books back in the 80s, like Ninja Turtles and stuff, when those were all black and white because they couldn't afford to color
it. Well, it's 2018, okay, Chuck? I want color in the comics and I'm not paying more. They have some. They colored it myself.
I mean, technically, you're not paying anything. You don't buy a lot of comics.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I just take Al's sign in on the Marvel app. And
yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Now I'm feeling guilty.
Hey, I didn't pay for it either. Got it from a radio station.
A couple other things I wanted to touch on this week. The last episode of Gotham was last Thursday.
Series finale, I saw Gotham. That.
Did you see the episode at all? Or
did.
What did you think? Because I read about it, and it sounded awesome. It sounded like they jumped.
I thought it was really good.
They jump forward 10 years, and you get to see Batman, you get to see the Joker and everything.
You knew you were going to see Batman. I was kind of curious to see if we were going to get to see Bruce Wayne, but you don't. You see him, you know, mostly in the shadows, but then you get one good view of him, which I assumed from when the episode started, that's all we were going to get, and it was going to be at the end.
Right.
But no, I thought it was satisfying. They made Penguin fat, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, those 10 years, he packed down a few pounds.
Yeah, well.
But he packed down those pounds in weird spots, too. I was like, why is he so lumpy?
It really looks like he's wearing a pillow.
Yeah.
It looks like a really bad.
They should have called him the pillow.
They spend all that money making a bat suit. So.
I don't know about you, because you've been watching all along, right, James? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I was not super crazy about this season with the whole.
The No Man's Land stuff.
So this was the least interested I've been in Gotham.
100%
agree.
The
entire series. If I didn't know that it was the last season, I probably would have stopped watching it. I was not interested this year. Mm-hmm.
No, I was completely lost. Like, every time you watch an episode, I had to ask my girlfriend to get me caught up. Like,
yeah. What did I miss?
Why is this here?
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's happening
right now? I don't
understand.
Right what? Yeah. Well, they're still alive? I thought they were dead. You know, it's just weird this whole season. But I do feel like the payoff was just that last episode.
Yeah. I felt, I don't know about you, but for what Gotham was all along, where it was sort of an alternate prequel series, you know, things were a little bit different, but it was a prequel. Like, you don't necessarily have needed to have Batman in the show because that wasn't the point of it. You know, it was the prequel.
Yeah.
I felt satisfied with the second to last episode. Like, if they had ended it there, I would have been like, okay, fine. But the final season really put a cap on it. And I liked.
That's cool.
I liked better the way that they ended it.
Yeah.
But if they had ended it after episode 11, I would be like, I accept it. That's all right. You know?
Yeah. That felt like an ending. This felt like an epilogue.
Yeah. You know, spoiler, but not. Come on. You know, Jim Gordon becomes the commissioner.
Yeah.
Finally, you know, and so
he gets his mustache.
He gets the mustache, which they kind of made fun of, which was nice.
Right.
But yeah. They put everything in place, man. It's a perfect launching point to the Batman franchise.
Yeah.
So you saw it, you know, go through incubation or whatever you want to say.
A year zero.
Batman is hatched out of the egg. Now we've got Batman.
And no idea.
All the villains that he's up against, you know, you end up seeing, at least in this Yep. Well, most of them this season, because you see Bane a little bit in this season.
Yep.
You know, maybe not so much the last
episode.
No,
I'm confused. If Batman was Hatch, why isn't he Birdman?
Oh, yeah, bad metaphor, sorry. I don't know how we have... Well, bats are mammals, so what, they give birth?
I believe so.
They so, will. You know, we watched birth, the, yeah. the gestation period inside the mama bats before, you know, Batman...
Oh, there's like, the title of the episode, yeah. Nerd Radio Gestation Period.
It was like, yeah, five, it was so like, you get to see Batman, you know, come out of the bat birth canal, out of that bat vagina, and, you know, flap his wings.
James now has an easel with a chart that he's pointing to.
He does, and it's fantastic.
He's giving us the rundown.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Here's the bat vagina. Here's the bat. This is week four in the gestation period.
A mom,
you know?
Bat very much.
Yep. So what you're telling me is this Gotham show was just five seasons of ultrasound.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You want to put it in that way. Yeah, yeah. Perfect.
I also did like how they evolved Jerome or whatever the hell.
Yeah. Because they couldn't legally use Joker or whatever. They didn't get the rights, I believe.
Is that what the problem was?
Oh, that's what my girlfriend tells me, so I'm going to believe it's true.
We will. Cody is correct.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, yeah.
They couldn't get licensing or whatever to actually call him the Joker or to make him look exactly like the Joker as we know him.
You know
it's
what?
Too expensive or something. So they danced around it.
I'm glad that didn't work out for them then, because I like the way they did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole thing. I really liked the Gotham Joker. Is up there, man. He needs to be in that discussion of who was the best Joker. You always hear about, you know, Jack and Heath,
sure,
and even Mark Hamill. But I like that. I don't know what the actor's name is. I know he's from Shameless, but that kid needs to be in that discussion. I think he was great.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job.
And whether they had the rights or not, it was the Joker.
Mm-hmm. You brought up Mark Hamill. Did you guys hear that he's doing the voice of Chucky in the new Child's Play?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
I just enjoy Mark Hamill just out there being Mark Hamill.
Right.
Really
how did Luke Skywalker fall into the, hey, I can do a real good creepy voice?
Yeah.
That is weird.
It works out great, though.
What else is going on in TV? Oh, Cobra Kai season 2 is on YouTube now. Apparently it's bingeable. You can see the whole thing. And John Kreese, the guy who runs the Cobra Kai dojo in the original movie, is back. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he wasn't back in the first season?
I guess not. No, I only watched a couple episodes
of
the first
Johnny
season.
Or whatever?
Yeah, Johnny was
Johnny
running the
and
thing.
Ralph Macchio?
Yep.
Okay.
And so there's some fun stuff in there. I was reading kind of a synopsis of the season. Sounds fun. Sounds
gotcha.
Cool.
Did you watch any of the first season?
I watched the first episode.
Okay, I didn't watch any of it.
Yeah.
Karate Kid to me, I was like, yeah, well, there's guns now, so you can come at me with your karate, but bang, bang, take that, Karate Kid.
Right. No, the first season was cool because it just focused on how crappy Johnny Lawrence's life, the guy who he fights in the first movie.
The downfall after that swan kick straight to the face.
Yeah, no, his life is just awful.
Man, now I'm torn. That could also be the title of the episode.
Swan kick
straight to the face. I think that's a better one.
That's way better.
Full of podcast titles today.
Oh, swan kick straight to the face.
All right. Well, before we get to some,
it's a crane kick.
Crane kick.
It's not even the right bird.
James is not good at birds, man.
Has to be swan kick, though. Please, for the love of God, keep the title swan kick.
It is a crane.
James is not good at birds, man. Woo.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't know my birds very well. Oof. Damn.
I
got things hatching from eggs.
I'm just glad we remember that before the tweet started.
Yeah. Hey, dummies.
God damn it.
There's a crane kick.
Look, it's Nerd Radio, not Bird Radio. Get out of here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for standing up for me, Chuck. I appreciate that.
I was killed. Allie was taking a drink. Said that.
Chuck stands up for my. For
that's
me
right. Absolutely.
Almost killed Al in the process.
I forgot to mention this last week, and I need to mention it because Motor City Comic Con is a couple of weeks away. We're going to be there. I already talked to the Motor City Comic Con people, so we're going to try and interview some people. It'll be pretty fun. But you can be there as well. Go to WRAF.com right now and check out our contest page. We've given away Motor City Comic Con tickets.
Yeah, like all 3 days, right?
So cool.
At WRAF.com.
Awesome.
I believe so, yeah.
I think it's all 3 days.
Yeah, so it'll be, you can hang out with us if you want, but it's not you don't have to just because you won tickets. You can totally walk around Comic Con on your own and be like, I don't want to talk to those nerds, whatever.
What a bunch of nerds.
Bunch of nerds.
It's also a great title.
Hey,
Nerd Radio. I don't want to talk to those nerds.
I don't want to talk to those nerds.
It can also be used as a story of my life right there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, I got one last thing I want to run by you guys. This is more of a wrestling thing, but it's there's a visual there's a visual component with it as well.
I like visual.
Over the weekend at NXT house show, a referee broke his leg during the match and finished the like still
holy crap
counted the three count with a broken leg, and somebody's got a picture of it. You guys want to check this out?
I've seen it.
Oh boy,
look at that.
See, it was like kind of bent backwards.
Oh my god,
dude, broke his leg.
I want to see an interview with Vince McMahon. They're like, do you feel responsible for this injury?
For this referee?
Yeah, they'll watch him freak out.
Yeah,
he does not. I'll nope. tell you that right now. He does not.
I don't remember. I think it was Tyler Breeze versus Velveteen Dream, and I believe one of the guys came off the top rope and kind of like landed on his leg and broke it. But one of his fellow referees, as they were, went to Twitter and said that as they were taking him on the stretcher back to the hospital to go, so the dude laying on the stretcher squeezes his hand to get his attention. He looked down at him. He's like, I love this business.
Oh, that's a hardcore.
Dude,
like,
broke his leg. Still loves wrestling. Still, he'll be back. He's a hardcore referee, man.
Wrestling's totally fake, though, right?
If I break a sweat, I'm going to throw a tantrum.
It is warm in here, for sure. All right, so let's take a small break. Al, I don't believe you'll be joining us for this last segment.
Yeah, I'm going to spoil the crap out of this movie.
Yeah, or me and James are going to talk about some intense spoilers for Avengers Endgame. So if you're not joining us either in the listening audience, we look forward to talking to you or talking at you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you hit us up on Nerd Radio 101 on all our social media, and come on back next week.
Swan kick!
Unless you've seen Avengers, in which point we'll be right
Stick
back.
Around.
To the face.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hope you've cleared out your DVR. Time for Nerd Radio.
Spoilers.
Make it so.
Back with Nerd Radio. Spoilers ahead. Wherever you're getting your podcasts on WRAF.com and all over your podcast apps like Amazon and iTunes and all that stuff. Chuck Bean and James still with you. Al Becks had to step out because he has not yet to see the Avengers Endgame movie. And if you haven't either, we are about to talk about some very spoilery things. And as I said at the top of the show, I feel like there are at least two or three things in this movie that everyone should experience without knowing it's coming.
Absolutely.
Which are fantastic. So that being said, whew, let's dive right in. James.
Okay. First thing I want to get to.
Okay.
The Incredible Hulk in this movie.
Yep.
Drove me nuts. That was one of the things at the beginning that really pissed me off was
okay.
what they did to the Incredible Hulk. It felt very Disney, but then I've had a few people, because I've kind of like tweeted my issues with some of the characters.
Right.
And people that have seen the movie picked up, they know exactly what my complaint is. And the Hulk talks like Bruce Banner. He's like a normal,
right.
I'm a normal scientist guy, but I'm like a real big buff green dude. Is that something straight out of the comics?
It does happen later in the comics. There is a point where he merges all his personalities into one. And he's not called Professor Hulk, but he's very large and he's very intelligent. Not quite as socially awkward as Mark Ruffalo is.
Okay. Because I feel like they castrated the Incredible Hulk, man.
Yeah,
to me, the Hulk, you get pissed.
Right, well, there's
you're coming
even that,
to F stuff up.
There's even that scene where they tell him to like break some stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I wasn't happy about that scene. And he like kicks the car or whatever. And
right.
I'm like,
throws a motorcycle.
I'm like, come on, man. Like, you're the Hulk, dude.
But you did get some angry Hulk because a big part of this movie is the time travel. So they travel back to Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Mm-hmm. Isn't tight.
Excuse me. The first Avengers movie. And what was the third? Oh, the Thor the Dark World, which is fascinating that they took movies like Thor the Dark World, which are kind of a low point in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and made them matter even more.
Yeah. But,
which is fantastic.
The other thing, Fat Thor.
Yeah.
What the F? is this like a Liberty Disney made to take to try to kind of spin the Thor character?
Okay, so I don't remember Thor ever going through a fat phase.
Okay.
In the comics. However, that has been a sticking point that I've read a lot of people because it's him dealing with having lost. And I really like that they took the first like 45 minutes to show each of the Avengers dealing in a different way with having lost on such a grand cosmic scale. Like, you know, Cap is trying to push forward and trying to, but, you know, he doesn't have the heart that he used to kind of thing.
Yeah, he just ends up leading like an AA group or whatever.
Right. Tony rips into him real hard. And I like that scene a lot when he gets back. And like Natasha doesn't want to leave the house kind of thing. Thor, Yeah, he just
turns into the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, like, he just turns into a homebody. Like, he becomes an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And
I just thought, I was like, get out of here.
And I have to believe that part of that is in the lead up to this Avengers movie. I did read that Chris Hemsworth said something along the lines of, after the second Thor movie, after the Dark World, he wasn't real interested in coming back after doing three Thor movies. Like, he'd signed up for three Thor movies, but like, he'd played this character twice and he didn't, and he'd done Avengers as well. And he's like, this isn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be. And then Ragnarok happened.
Yeah.
And he went, I want to be this Thor. This is fun kind of thing. So I think maybe that influenced it to some degree. And I have to say, like I was saying, a lot of people not cool with Fat Thor because A, there's body shaming involved in that. Like, everybody kind of takes a shot at him for putting on some weight. It kind of makes a joke out of alcoholism as well.
True. And I wasn't even thinking on that deep of a level. I was just like, if I wanted to see the Big Lebowski, I'd go watch the dude, you know, in the Big Lebowski.
For sure.
They even make a joke about him being Lebowski.
Yeah, Tony walks by him and is like, one side Lebowski.
Yeah, he's even got the sweater, like everything. Like the sweater and all that stuff. But
I really enjoy the way Chris Hemsworth plays that character because you can tell he's a broken man. You can see it in his, he tears up quite a few times talking about different things that were emotionally taxing out. He has a panic attack.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, you know. But he has his character arc. Like, even at the end of the movie, he gets to kick ass as Fat Thor.
Yeah, that's like, what was really
even
bizarre.
Even an overweight
to me.
Guy can look awesome and be the God of Thunder and be and
I figured
fantastic.
He'd use some magical Thor powers to get those abs back or something.
Right, for sure. What else is I would say we talked briefly about the emotional high points of the movie.
Yeah.
And the two that got me were almost back to back, obviously, when Steve gets the hammer.
Okay.
How
I thought
amazing.
That was weird.
How amazing that, you know, there was the scene in Age of Ultron where he budges the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And comic fans have always been like, well, if anybody is worthy, like Thor,
Captain America.
It's Captain America. And there are comics where Steve has
that was
utilized
another question.
Mjolnir.
I was going to say, has Captain America in the comics ever picked up Thor's hammer and used it?
Because
he used it just like Thor, throwing it and catching it and everything else. I'm like, okay, what am I missing here? It's weird. I get they're trying to say he's worthy of, you know, being able to harness a weapon such as, however you say the name.
Yeah.
Mjimli or whatever.
What's your face call it in the first Thor movie? Meow Meow?
I don't remember. But
no, this Thor 390, I think, is the first time Cap picked up that hammer. And it's happened multiple times since then.
With the comic.
Oh, I looked it up. I didn't memorize it. I looked it up.
It's like, damn, you got like the encyclopedia.
No. No, because that was something I thought of. It was like, when's the first time that happened? Because I know recently when it's happened, but when's the first time that actually happened?
I got you. Yeah, so I thought that was weird. It didn't bother me, but I was like, oh, yeah, Captain America got the shield and the hammer, so you just throw all your stuff at everybody and it all comes back to you?
Right, and that was the fun thing is like he would throw the shield and it would come back and he'd hit it with the hammer or, throw the lightning or bang the hammer off the shield and stuff like that.
I feel like the Suicide Squad misnamed Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, right?
The way everything's coming back to Captain America.
Well, Spidey did say, this thing does not... The laws of physics don't apply to this thing at all, do they?
Yeah.
So when he wants it back, he gets it back. Because when Cap fights Cap, they bang the shields off each other and stuff like that. And the other emotional high point is to finally hear Captain America say Avengers Assemble. When everybody shows up and Cap says it.
Is that one of the moments you kind of teared up? Really?
Oh, I lost it. I lost it. I mean, everybody's coming back through the portals. Mm-hmm. So you get to see Spidey and the Guardians and Doctor Strange and everybody's back and they're alive. And all right. And they all, because Thanos has his army and Cap just stands up and walks, you know, like, I don't care if I got to fight an army. I'm not backing down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear Sam say on your left and everybody shows up. And I'm like, oh, sweet. This is going to be so cool. And then he says it.
Yeah.
And then my comic books come to life, man. You get a huge battle sequence where you just see people, the camera pans through and you see all these people fighting stuff.
Oh, man, the battle is epic. It's awesome.
Amazing. And it's not badly lit like Game of Thrones. So
you can
actually
see what's happening, you know? But yeah, like the couple moments I started to kind of tear up, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but Iron Man when he dies.
Yeah.
He's dead. Sorry, guys. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's dead. So I got like real bummed out, almost cried about that. Cause I'm thinking he's got a kid, you know, Pepper Potts, what's she going to do now?
Yep.
Now she's a single mom. Well, how could you do such a thing? And I was curious, does that happen in
Tony has died, not in that particular way. Tony's never wielded the Infinity Gauntlet, because the rules of the Infinity Gauntlet in the movie, which I actually kind of like more, are different than the rules in the comic. Like, when Thanos has it in the original Infinity Gauntlet story in the comic books, like, he can just do anything. It doesn't, there's not a radiation or, you know, it's not, you know, every
he's
time
not getting burned every time he uses
exactly,
it.
Exactly. But, like I said,
but nothing happens to him that you can, that you notice really in the Infinity War, though. Does he, do they show him burned at all?
I think the idea is that when he destroyed the gems, it,
that's what,
it's
what messed him up.
Hurt Thanos. Okay. And the fact that everybody else who tries to wield it is not Thanos of Titan is why the Hulk, you know, gets his arm burned, and why Tony doesn't, you know, have, he's just a person in an Iron Man suit. So
I love they could take the Iron Man gauntlet and turn it into an Infinity Gauntlet.
That was fantastic.
That was sweet. That was really cool. I thought that was
fantastic.
Clever. And then the other part where I was ready to tear up was with Cap at the end. You see
old man Cap
at the end.
I love
you know?
That he looks like Clint Eastwood.
It's he does look like Clint Eastwood.
It's
exactly.
Chris Evans, but with the liver spots and stuff, he just looks like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, he does. It looks like he's straight out of Gran Torino.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, and then he passes the shield on. And I'm surprised the internet has not exploded over the fact that, man, Falcon. I feel so weird giving this spoiler away, but we're going to see a black Captain America, man.
Yeah. And
like, that is crazy cool.
They set that up a couple years ago in the comics. He handed it over to Falcon.
Okay.
And that lasted about a year or so before Cap, you know, came back and Falcon gave him the shield, because just like he says in the movies, it feels like somebody else's. It doesn't feel like mine.
I see. So that's interesting to know that actually happens, because I always, in my mind, I was like, they're going to pass the shield on to Bucky.
Right.
Bucky's going to become
the
new Captain America.
That has happened in the comics. And I think that's where they kind of tried to swerve us a little bit.
Yeah. So they got me for sure with that. Because I was like, oh, man, we'll probably see some Captain America and Falcon movies in the future. Or you know, something like that. You know, that opens up that door.
You've got the Winter Soldier and Falcon show that's going to be on Disney Plus.
There we go.
That's essentially a Captain America show now.
Yeah, exactly.
So that'll be really fun. And I think we'll see a lot of them passing the shield between each other. They'll both be using it, because we've seen Bucky use it a little bit, I think, in the Winter Soldier, or maybe it was in Civil War, and then, you know, Falcon. It's weird to me. I don't mind Falcon being Captain America, but how do you throw the shield when your wings are part of your outfit on your arms? Like, you have to use your arms
so
to make the wings
still
happen.
So is he still going to be winged? Are we going to see a winged Captain America?
That's how he was in the comics. It always seemed weird.
You trade the wings for the shield. You know, like if you're playing a video game, you can't have every accessory.
Right.
You have to pick and choose what's going to be the best for your loadout.
Yeah.
If you have the wings, you can't have the shield. If you have the shield, you can't have the wings. But, I'd be cool to see, you know, Captain America with wings.
Yeah.
I got no problems with that.
And that's another thing they set up in the comics ahead of time. About 6 months ago, they started a new book called The Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's dumb. Why would you do that? So that when they mention it at the end of this movie, there's precedent.
Gotcha. So do you think we're going to see a movie with Thor traveling with the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Guardians 3 has to be.
It's going
to
be that. That's cool. I like that, the combination. I like watching Thor and Chris Pratt butt heads.
Yeah, exactly.
As Star-Lord. I almost forgot his name.
Yep.
I like watching those two guys butt heads over who's the captain, who's not going to be the captain.
Right.
You know, they're both going to be trying to pick up chicks or whatnot, pick up hot space aliens.
Exactly. So everyone's going to be wanting to follow Thor because, as Drax said, he's like an angel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When they were touching his muscles, like, his muscles feel like metallic fibers or whatever, you know, like really putting Chris Pratt to shame.
Right.
The other question I have, I think one of the Guardians of the Galaxy's hidden scenes or whatever, they almost allude to Adam Warlock.
Yes.
Becoming a thing. So I thought he was going to be involved in this movie in some way, shape, or form. And I even thought I did some research. Is Thanos involved in multiple things besides just...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's popped up many times in the comics, but the biggest Thanos story of all time is the Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay. Adam Warlock is fighting Thanos. I'm like, oh, that's Adam Warlock, man. Right. He's coming to fight Thanos. He's going to save the day.
No, we essentially got Captain Marvel instead.
Yeah,
which I'm cool with. Yeah,
which
I'm pretty cool with. I love that Carol has one move, and it's fly through spaceships.
Yeah, but here's the
thing. That's amazing to me.
How can she fly through a spaceship? I know this is a comic movie. You fly through a spaceship the size of our planet, but then when you get to the captain of the spaceship, Thanos, it's a huge battle.
Yeah.
You know, like, why can't you just fly right through Thanos? I guess it's the same question, why can't Ant-Man just go up Thanos' anos?
Right.
You know, and then come become big again and just explode him, but... yeah, man, the movie was great. There's so much like cool stuff that you saw.
It's
like
amazing
the battle at the end. Just
Spider-Man
with the crazy spider suit when he's like, what is it? Like auto kill.
Yeah.
So he's just standing there. The suit's doing all the work and killing all of Thanos's foot soldiers. Yep. Like there's some awesome scenes in the movie.
Yeah. It's really, as I said at the top of the show, rewarding was the one word I could come up with when I walked out of the theater. That was extremely rewarding. And here's the thing I didn't realize until I saw it the second time. So, when everybody comes back, Doctor Strange looks, he's supposed to be looking at Tony Stark, but essentially looks right at the screen and says, is that everybody? And then Wong behind him is like, is that enough? That is directly a shot across the bow of everybody who expected the Fantastic Four and the X-Men to show up in this movie.
Ah, okay.
That's Marvel telling you, look, we know we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Give us time. We want to make sure we do it right.
I just got chills when he's saying that. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I can see.
Exactly.
That's very cool.
That's them talking to you, the viewer, and essentially saying, like, I know, I get it, but we're going to do it right.
It's also a way of them saying, we got enough people to make this happen, so calm down. Settle your tea kettle. I told them I'm going to start using that.
Settle your tea kettle?
Yeah.
That's good.
I've been watching the Divas show with my girlfriend.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't Natalia say that all the time?
They use that a lot. Natalia says it. Dean Ambrose says it.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
It's used a lot. And I'm like, you know what? I've heard this about 6 or 7 times over the last week or two. I'm going to start using Settle Your Tea Kettle. I finally found a moment to use it.
Yeah! So, yeah, that's a lot of... Oh, and the last thing I did want to mention, too, when it comes to that kind of thing, is obviously one of the big problems a lot of people having with the movie is the time travel. Because they try and set up the rules of time travel. I love that the joke is when Tony Stark is like, you did not base your entire plan on Back to the Future.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, they did. Actually, you can almost say this is kind of a comic book Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. I love Bill and Ted. So I love time travel stories.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are complaining about the fact that, like, if you kill 2012 Thanos or 2014 Thanos in 2032,
mm-hmm.
that completely changes the timeline. And they're right. I think the idea that we'll see going forward in these movies is that if your choices are to let all Thanos' atrocities continue to happen
mm-hmm.
up until the point where you can beat him, or to change the timeline, I think the better choice is obviously to change the timeline.
Yeah, and also I think this opens up the idea of how in comics there's different story arcs or different
right.
things from different dimensions or whatever.
Yep.
Like now... They have that set up in the movie.
The timeline is changed,
yeah.
which I think sets up for stuff like the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. I think it sets up for Vision and Black Widow possibly and not being dead.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool.
So we'll have to wait and see. But it's once again a fantastic movie. I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah.
After talking about it,
Gamora. Like, because they leave you at the end with Star-Lord searching for Gamora.
Nebula kills her older self,
mm-hmm.
which makes her a time paradox.
Yeah.
And, Gamora isn't with the Guardians, so where did she go?
Yeah, like, so there's a lot of stuff to see in the future, which makes me excited.
Yep.
You know, because I was like, I think I'm going to be completely out. But
once
now I want to see what's going to happen with Guardians and Thor.
I also want to see a third Ant-Man movie, specifically because... Tony Stark figured out time travel, and he figured out time travel through Hank Pym's science.
Yep.
So now that Hank Pym is alive and time travel is a thing, how do you unring that bell?
Oh, yeah.
How do you make it so that people don't just time travel all the time now?
Is there any kind of, Time Cop. They're going to spin off into Time Cop.
Need some Time Cops?
They're going to bring Jean-Claude Van Damme in. There's going to be a Time Cop too. They're going to merge it into the Marvel Universe. Disney will make it happen.
All right. I like it.
I might be the only one who wants it.
All right, so once again, thank you guys for tuning in to Nerd Radio. We will be back next week. Hopefully, maybe Al will have seen the movie by then.
Let's hope. I don't know. He's got 3 hours. It's too long for his old man bladder to handle.
It's true. He might fall asleep. I nearly fell asleep the second time because I was a little sleepy, but I was like, no, I got to see this.
Oh, man.
I got to see this.
Not even the smallest amount sleepy watching that movie. I was glued to my seat.
All right, well, come on back for some Nerd Radio next week, and make sure you rate and review us on iTunes and on Stitcher and on Spotify, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out!
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Okay. I don't know. All I could think at that moment was the goddamn Infinity Gauntlet joke that I already used.
Come on!
That would have been the perfect spot for it.
Yeah, you went too early.
Well,
that's usual.
You launched your Infinity Gauntlet too early.
A little premature.
Oh.
Face.
I'm glad you realized it was the wrong bird.
Yeah. You guys are idiots.
I already loved it. And then when I realized, oh my God, it's not even a swan. Yeah.
I'm upset that we've got three good titles for this week. I can't use all of them.
Nope.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.